This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health in Difference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
The next speaker is a very contemporary issue, Anne Matson from Healthy Communities in Queensland. Anne has a background of 15 years in social work and community work in Brisbane, in roles with culturally and linguistically diverse communities and in campaigns and advocacy. She joined Healthy Communities in February 2012 as the project worker engaged to establish a pilot LGBTI seniors community visiting scheme. And for probably most of you know that there was a round recently, Doha provided a round of funding for LGBTI community visiting schemes nationally, and you've pioneered it. So we're really looking forward to your presentation. Thanks, Anne.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I'm contemplating getting you to stand up and have a little stretch because I'm the fourth speaker. So how are you going? Stand up for a minute and just have a stretch. Now, given that I'm going to be talking about the community visiting service, I think you should all reach for an imaginary cup of tea so we can, you know, that's what it's all about, people and connections. So I invite you to have a virtual cup of tea. I was making jokes earlier about maybe having a little stand here with a nice bottle of champagne on ice and saying, for those of you who stick with us 5 o'clock presenters, you can have some of this afterwards, after Marilyn's spoken. But look, good afternoon. It's an honour and a privilege to be able to stand here and to be able to share some of what's been happening in the last 12 months. I'd love to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we stand this afternoon. So look, as we've been hearing lots and lots about, 2012-13 has been a time of significant change when we're talking about LGBTI ageing. In terms of recognition, in terms of awareness, in terms of policy formulation, and even in terms of funding. And so, you know, we're seeing great beginnings starting to be built upon in terms of offering services that are proudly recognising the specific, as I like to say, specific needs of LGBTI people as they are ageing. So look, I'm really glad to be able to give a pretty quick snapshot. I'm wondering where, I just spotted where the timing thing is. Excellent. Can't miss that. Only wish there was some karaoke on it. But look, I'm really happy to be able to give you a snapshot of the pilot LGBT seniors community visiting service that's been operating in southeast Queensland at Healthy Communities in Brisbane over the past year. So look, I'll give you a brief rundown on the workings of getting the program up and running, some of the issues and learnings that we're already seeing and encountering. I'll look at how some of the questions that either were put to me at the start of the program or that I had myself, how they have started to play out, and what are some of the key questions and challenges that are emerging as the pilot comes to an end, as we await also the outcome of that expanded CVS funding application to the department, which will hopefully assure the continuation of the program beyond the 30th of June. So hop over to slide two. There it is. So look, just a really quick background. The Healthy Communities Ageing Action Group was successful in late 2011 in getting a funding application through with a philanthropic grant to establish a pilot LGBT community visiting scheme. That was the Wiking Trust, for those who might be interested, through the ANZ trustees. I should point out, however, it was successful then, but there had been a number of previous attempts over a period of about 4 or 5 years prior to actually being successful. So successive applications had gone to both community and philanthropic and government, I believe, possibly even government sources to try to secure funding. So, you know, invisible issue, failure to recognise amongst policy makers, governments, funders, etc. So, yeah, it was some time to get to the point of end 2011 and actually get some money coming our way. The Ageing Action Group that I speak of formed in 2006 at Healthy Communities. And of course, that was then, you know, growing recognition of LGBTI ageing within our communities, of the specific issues and needs. And of course, the Board of Healthy Communities was earmarking back at that stage that this would need to be a priority area for work and turning attention to develop. Certainly that also was confirmed when the Ageing Action Group back in 2007 was doing a survey amongst community then into concerns and experiences about ageing, you know, particularly, you know, concerns about isolation, concerns about accessing services, etc. And that resulted in the Young Ageing and Restless Report, which I'm sure quite a number of you would be familiar with, that was published in 2008. And certainly, of course, I couldn't not locate that within, you know, a body of other material that had been happening pre and post that, that, you know, those same concerns have been borne out in many other pieces of research and publications that have helped us to get to the point where we are today. So I really feel a strong need to acknowledge that. And I'm standing here on the backs of the work and input of many, many people in many capacities. So, yeah, I really want to acknowledge that. Jump quickly across to the third slide there. So the stages of the project began in February last year, so just come over the 12-month mark now. One worker, yours truly, 2.5 days a week. The initial period, I guess we call the pre-launch stage, which took until about August of last year, so it was about 6 months at a half-time rate. A lot of work in research, particularly looking at models of visiting programs or LGBTI visiting programs overseas. So, of course, the United States has a number of now, what do they call it? Friendly visitors. The UK also has a model as well, which I was able to look at. So, lots of reading, research, looking around, obviously starting to network and get to meet people in our own community around Brisbane. A lot of time and effort into getting a policy, set of policies and procedures established to guide the project. A lot of work in promotion and recruiting for volunteers, beginning promotion to community service providers so that we would have the client referrals. A lot of time spent around the training of our volunteers, which then saw us get to the stage of Seniors Week in August last year. Healthy Communities had a very small grant to put on an LGBT Seniors Expo as its activity to mark Seniors Week, and so we had a light launch within that event. So, yes, we flipped over into the next stage then of the startup phase, I guess. Again, a lot of promotion to community and service providers, receiving our first referrals, conducting our first client intakes and matching with volunteers. And the first visits actually started taking place in October last year. Another important stage also that has been ongoing and will be, you know, the bread and butter of this and any continuing program will be the maintenance aspect. Lots of time and effort focusing on volunteer visitor support and maintenance. So be that, you know, we have bi-monthly volunteer meetings, regular updates, space for visitors to share and meet and, you know, a certain amount of group debriefing as appropriate in that space. Lots of regular phone and email contact with our volunteer visitors. Also, very importantly, a lot of focus on monitoring progress and obtaining feedback and keeping in contact with our clients themselves who are receiving the visitors. Phone and for some email have been the main ways after I do my initial one-to-one visit with them. And we've had a few instances also of going through a process of rematching some of our clients with a new visitor. Okay, tracking along here. So, yeah, slides 4 and 5. Let's have a look at those. Let's have a look at the next one. I'll probably come back to that one, and I apologise for the small writing. I wanted to just, I guess, show you just the overall look of it, really. But some of the project stats and insights into the client volunteer experience and, you know, moving to our program and planning evaluation of the pilot. So currently, at the moment, we have a dozen trained volunteer visitors on the books out of 18 that were trained in the first intake back in June, July. I should say that's probably just under half of the actual number of inquiries that we had in response to our promotion calling for volunteers. So, yeah, I think, you know, in that initial stage, we had about 40 or so volunteer or would-be volunteers or people interested to find out what the program would be about. I've just done a second intake of six, so they're about to start their visit or start the process of being matched. We did a second intake of training just back in February of this year. So we'll have 18 visitors on the books from next week, aged from their late teens into their 70s, so a very broad range. There's a reference made of the intergenerational nature and the potential of this program, so certainly we have, yes, all age groups in our visitor pool. And the numbers change, as I said, of our volunteers. You know, life throws up lots of unexpected events. It's the world of volunteering, and that's, you know, a very important thing that we have to roll with and be prepared for as well. But certainly to flag for those who'll be looking at operating schemes, yes, you know, the work of volunteerism and supporting volunteer projects is, as we know, ongoing. We lose a few volunteers, but we do get constant inquiries that are coming through, you know, all the time, not just when I'm doing specific promotion and inviting, you know, people come to an information session and find out about it, that sort of thing. We currently have, in terms of those who are receiving a visit in community, we have 15 clients on the books at the moment. So that's 12 clients who are receiving or are about to receive their first visit. Two waiting for a match, doesn't always happen straight away, and one I'm about to do our first one-to-one meeting and initial assessment and intake process with. That'll be one of my first jobs next week when I'm back in Brizzy. Yeah, do you want to just flip back really quickly to that? Yeah, so look, I'll just read out a couple of those. I'm sure that you can't read that from there, but just a little bit of the flavour of what some of our visitors and some of our clients have, you know, been experiencing. Client Elaine: I live alone and I don't get many gay visitors. Actually, there's only one person who visits, so I get pretty lonely. With respect to the project, my volunteer and I have had a few visits now, all of which have been really positive. I now know about certain events held during the daytime, which I think will be a good introduction to the community. This is a client who was pretty afraid to go out of her unit complex by herself. The visits happen in home. People might go to a cafe. People might go to a movie together. People might go to an appointment together. For this client, they were all in within her home over a cup of tea and a chat. But I'm quite delighted to hear word last weekend that they actually went on an outing together last weekend. So I feel that that is saying something about what's going on with that bond and that trust and so forth. So, yeah, really happy about that. Wendy, volunteer: I've wanted to do some volunteer work for a while. When I heard about the seniors visiting service being implemented by Healthy Communities, I thought it would be a great way for me to become more involved in the community and to give something back. And I hear that time and time again from our volunteers. You know, I wasn't sure what I could do, but, you know, now that I've heard about this program, this is really something that I want to get involved in. I really enjoy listening to people's life stories, and even though we have only just started to get to know one another, my client and I have already had some great discussions. It's been so easy to sit down with a cup of tea chat and not realise how much time has gone by. So just a little flavour of things. Hop over onto slide six. There we go. Issues and learnings. I'll really try and whiz through this. Number one, I suppose, the take-up is indicating there's a need for this service, I guess. You know, I can't be too scientific about that conclusion at the moment, but that's what I'm concluding at this stage, only a year into things. And evaluation, again, will be one of the things that I'm doing for this pilot stage of the program, you know, for our philanthropic funding body, and also to take us forward, hopefully, after 30 June. It'll be a good opportunity to explore the impacts in, you know, in other ways and see the difference it's making and be able to start talking about that. The importance of volunteer training and communicating with clients as well as visitors about their role and boundaries. Feedback that I'd had, interestingly, from other community visitor scheme services was that volunteers were resistant to lots of training, and it's very hard to get them back to ongoing meetings. So I kind of had that, it felt a little bit off-put by that, but it hasn't necessarily been borne out in my experience so far. And I think it's about how you set up and communicate to people. From the very start, we have information sessions for prospective volunteers. So before you even come to a training session to become a visitor, you've got to manage expectations and explain to people exactly what the program is about, because it is quite a commitment that you're asking for from your volunteer visitor. I think another really important learning, which I didn't put up there, was keeping healthy communities or the project worker in the picture, because after I meet the client first time and do that profile, get what their interests are, what they're looking for out of the visitor program, they don't see me again.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health Indifference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.